This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight in Washington, the U.S. and French presidents vowing to hold Russia accountable for war crimes in Ukraine. After talks at the White House today, they pledged to support Ukraine for as long as it takes. And Biden says he is prepared to talk to Vladimir Putin, but only if the Russian president is willing to discuss ending this war. Also coming up tonight, Ukrainian officials warning Russia is gearing up for a massive aerial attack. Satellite images from a Russian airfield suggest preparations for an assault. And in Qatar, there's just been another huge shock at the World Cup as Germany go out. Hansi Flick's men finally get a win, beating Costa Rica, but it's not enough to stop them exiting at the group stage for the second consecutive time. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us on this Thursday. U.S. President Joe Biden has welcomed his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron to the White House in the first state visit of Mr. Biden's presidency. The two spent the day together ahead of a lavish White House dinner planned for this evening. Talks are already focusing on the war in Ukraine, but President Macron also wants to discuss trade relations. He's accused Biden's U.S.-focused climate policy of hurting France's economy. The two agreed to work closely on energy and climate issues moving forward. And both presidents repeated their commitment to support Ukraine in its battle against Russia.
Today, we reaffirm that France and the United States, together with all our allies, all our NATO allies and European Union and G7, stand as strong as ever against Russia's brutal war against Ukraine. We talked a lot about that in our bilateral meeting. And we're continuing a strong support to the people of Ukraine as they defend their homes and their families and their sovereignty and territorial integrity against Russian aggression, which has been incredibly
long. We've condemned this war from the very beginning. We've taken all the diplomatic steps to condemn this war and the war crimes committed by Russia on Ukrainian soil. And we support the Ukrainian army that is fighting for the Ukrainian people. And I would like to thank the United States for all the support it's provided.
Strong words there from both leaders reiterating their commitment to Ukraine. I asked our very own Michaela Kufner in Washington what their continued support is going to look like moving forward.
There is more, and there's actually a joint statement that the two leaders issued after their very long talks, which went on for more than an hour longer than initially planned. And they put it in writing that there will be robust, direct financial budgetary support coming, and that they will continue to support Ukraine's capabilities for defense, particularly air defense capabilities, that there will be significant assistance to help the Ukrainians get through the winter. And there's a lot of focus on essentially cash coming Ukraine's way. So we have seen this in recent months that actually shorter than on a weekly basis, we see more and more pledges of either finances or military support coming through. There's also talk, not in here, not in this press conference, but of the U.S. wanting to train more Ukrainians, potentially in Germany. So if anything, those efforts to support Ukraine are being ramped up. But interestingly, we also just heard Joe Biden say that he would be willing to sit down and talk with Vladimir Putin, most likely on the phone, if there actually was some kind of view towards ending the war. We know that Emmanuel Macron, he said it himself, is planning on talking to Vladimir Putin over the coming days.
Yeah, that is definitely a change in position. We know that that was not a possibility at the G20 summit in Indonesia just a couple of weeks ago. Besides Ukraine, what else stood out to you in this press conference between the two leaders?
Well, I just want to add on potentially talking to Vladimir Putin. He would only do it if NATO leaders agree together with his partners. So that is a caveat there. What else they had to talk about is actually what is a looming rift, economic rift between the European Union and the US, with Joe Biden having pushed through legislation, huge green infrastructure investment that specifically excludes companies that are based abroad, that are not manufacturing in the US. That was a huge pressure point that saw Emmanuel Macron essentially accusing Joe Biden of endangering, potentially creating a rift in the West there, of destroying a level playing field. Now, we've seen little concrete headway here, but we've seen Joe Biden say that it is the intention to create jobs in the US, yes, but not at the expense of Europe. And how that can be prevented is now being pushed into a working group, a workforce. So Emmanuel Macron doesn't come home with a concrete plan, but a pledge that there is an intention of not destroying jobs in Europe and just shifting them towards the US. But that is essentially an outcome of the Ukraine war, together with high energy prices, much higher energy prices in Europe. There is industry already moving from Europe this way and also to China.
That was Michaela Kupner there reporting from Washington. Ukraine's military says that Russia has pulled some of its troops back from the main front line near the city of Kherson. But missiles and rockets continue to pound the city and the frontline villages. Ukraine's presidential office said on Thursday that shelling killed at least two civilians. And officials are warning people to brace for more, saying that Russia appears to be preparing for a major aerial attack.
The Ukrainian hamlet of Dovenka has been devastated by war, leaving residents without shelter as winter sets in.
My heart is bleeding. You can see yourself that the village is gone. Everything is destroyed.
Millions of Ukrainians have lost their homes, and Russian missiles and drones have left millions more without electricity. Worse is expected to come. Experts say these satellite images show Russian bombers preparing for new strikes. At the OSCE security meeting of foreign ministers in the Polish city of Łódź, the host nation was quick to condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Those responsible for the crime of aggression, for crimes against humanity, and for genocide must be held accountable absolutely. Only in this way can we restore peace in Europe and prevent acts of aggression in the future.
Russia is one of the security organization's 57 members, but Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has been denied entry into Poland. He chose to snipe from the sidelines instead.
The Americans want to keep Russia out of Europe. They have enslaved the whole of Europe. They have taken not only the Germans under their control, but the entire European Union.
German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock was quick to offer a rebuke.
When it comes to picking sides, 56 countries chose to stand on the side of peace and freedom.
Unlike his Russian counterpart, Ukraine's foreign minister received a warm welcome in Łódź.
All right, here's a look now at some of the other stories that are making headlines around the world. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has praised Germany's increase in military spending after meeting with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz here in Berlin today. Both leaders reaffirmed their support for Ukraine in the face of Russian aggression and stressed the need to protect European infrastructure against possible Russian or pro-Russian sabotage. Spain has increased security at public buildings and embassies after a spate of letter bombs. Devices were sent to targets, including the Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez and the Ukrainian embassy. Similar packages were sent to a Spanish arms firm and an Air Force base. South Africans blocked traffic in the capital Pretoria today to protest the paroling of the right-wing extremist Janusz Wallace. He has spent nearly 30 years in prison for the killing of the prominent anti-apartheid leader Chris Hani back in 1993. His release has been temporarily postponed. At least two people are dead, dozens more missing after a landslide swept away a section of highway in southern Brazil. You see it right there. Rescue workers say bad weather and the remote location in the state of Paraná are complicating the search for survivors. China's top COVID-19 response official has signaled a shift in the strict policies that provoked protests on a scale that has not been seen in the country in decades. The vice premier telling health officials that the country's coronavirus approach is entering what he calls a new stage. But Cities such as Guangzhou and Chongqing are already easing restrictions as officials try to quell public anger.
Frustration boiling over in Guangzhou. And scuffles with COVID workers in Shanghai. Rare public displays of anger with China's strict COVID policies in recent days. In many cities, they morphed into something even bigger, with protesters calling for the Communist Party and Xi Jinping to go. Scenes that have reminded many of the Tiananmen protests.
The first feeling that came to my mind when I witnessed the incredible protest across China was the spirit of 1989 has come again.
Beijing responded by unleashing a fierce crackdown, deploying huge numbers of police to stamp out the demonstrations. But it has also signaled changes to the strict COVID policies that have angered so many. On Wednesday, Vice Premier Sun Chanlan told health officials China was entering a new stage in its pandemic approach due to increased vaccination rates and experience with the coronavirus. In Guangzhou, authorities have already announced an end to mass PCR testing and lifted lockdowns across the city, all part of a drive to implement COVID rules with more local flexibility, according to officials. Beijing says it's also planning to step up vaccinations of the elderly. Lagging vaccination rates among the old have been used to justify the current zero COVID policy. With protests seemingly stamped out for now, and a shift away from the approach that provoked them in the works, Beijing may well be hoping the biggest challenge to its authority in decades is already behind it.
All right, to Qatar now, and Germany are out of the World Cup, and that despite beating Costa Rica 4-2 in a thrilling game, with Germany leading 1-0 in the second half. Costa Rica equalized through Yeltsin Tejeda, then shocked the four-time winners by taking the lead. But Germany fought back, and they took the lead again through Kai Havertz. But it was all in vain because of what happened elsewhere in Group E, where Japan pulled off another huge shock as they came from behind to beat Spain. Everything seemed to be going to plan for Spain when Alvaro Morata made it 1-0 early on, but a stunning goal from Ritsudon made it 1-1. The substitute had only been on the field 3 minutes, but his shot was too hot to handle, and Ao Tanaka sealed one of the great World Cup shocks with the winning goal. In 51 minutes, Japan managed to hold on, dumping Germany out and sending their fans into raptures. Wow. Star-studded Belgium have also crashed out of the World Cup after drawing with 2018 finalist Croatia, who are through to the knockout stage. Belgium were left to rue a string of misses as they drew 0-0.
The Belgians had their backs to the wall ahead of their final group game, needing a win to guarantee their progression. And they were given an early scare when the referee awarded Croatia a penalty for this foul on Andrej Kramaric after 15 minutes, but were rescued when VAR ruled Dejan Lovren offside at the preceding free kick. The 60th minute saw Kevin De Bruyne set up his side's first real chance, but neither Yannick Carrasco nor half-time substitute Romelu Lukaku was able to score the goal Belgium so badly needed. With just 3 minutes left, luckless Lukaku was unable to steer Thomas Meunier's effort past the keeper. And in the 90th minute, he produced perhaps the miss of the tournament as the Inter Milan man failed to make the most of Torgan Hazard's high-hanging cross. In frustration and disbelief, Belgium bid farewell.
Bye-bye, Belgium. That's all for me for now. After a short break, it's DW Business News with Rob Watts. I will see you tomorrow.